Share today
with Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
A new report has identified the highest and lowest performing local authorities with regards to their work on environmental issues such as air and water quality and waste. Kildare, Dublin, Leitrim, Monaghan and Fingal performed the best in 2021 at contributing to national priorities around waste, water, air and noise and relevant governance process. Meanwhile, Offaly, Mayo, Sligo, Wexford and Waterford performed the worst. The report was carried out by the Environmental Protection Agency, and on the line now is Neil Foley, Inspector at the EPA's Office of Environmental Enforcement. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Owen.
You might put that into context for us a little bit and explain the report a bit more for us.
Yes, well, local authorities play a vital role in protecting the environment. They're really, I suppose, what you would call sort of frontline staff. They undertook over 200,000 environmental inspections in 2021, which is the period that we were examining, and over 80,000 environmental complaints as well dealt with nationally. And what we're trying to do with this report, we've kind of updated our framework, and I suppose a little bit like a match. You know, you can have all these statistics from a match, but what you want to kind of see is, well, what's the final score and who wins? And in our case, we're trying to look at, you know, what were the wins for the environment? So what were the environmental outcomes then based on all of these different kind of statistics and inspections that were done? And that's what we came up with then with this report, is trying to then link the priority environmental areas, as you mentioned there, across waste, across water and air, and to try and see, well, what not only the level of activity, but what were the impacts? What were, you know, what was changed? What was the benefit to the environment from that? And as you pointed out, Kildare did quite well in this assessment. They were one of the better performing local authorities nationally, and demonstrated that you know, quite good outcomes across the different environmental sectors.
We'll take it through some of those sectors in a few moments, but I note that across the country, most local authorities performed well in some areas, but none performed well at all 20 national priorities. Talk to me about those priorities then, Neil, if you would, and I suppose is a cause for concern that they're not ticking all the boxes?
Well, it's a very broad and diverse area, I suppose, is the first thing to say. We had four overall areas, waste, water and air and noise combined, and also then a kind of a governance area, you know, ensuring that plans are implemented correctly. And within those, you have five priorities. So there are 20 priorities overall, as you mentioned. So I suppose a little bit like everything in life, it's very hard to kind of, you know, be excellent at everything. So resources have to be moved around and things have to be prioritized even within those priority areas. So that's what we found really in terms of across the board, was that you would have local authorities that would do very well in certain areas, but, you know, maybe weaker in others. What kind of stands out, I suppose, nationally is that in the air and noise area, it's generally less well resourced than the other areas. And so we did notice that there was slightly poorer performance in that area nationally across the board. So that was something that we certainly highlighted, that really local authorities do need to look at deployment and targeting of resources in that air and noise area, along with certain other areas as well. One of the things nationally that we found was the importance of segregation of waste, particularly in the construction and demolition area, where we have 8 million tons generated annually, that we weren't quite seeing the performance we'd like to see there in terms of the segregation of that waste. It's a big waste stream. There's a lot of that that can be, you know, diverted, reused, entering into the circular economy. So that was another area that we really wanted to highlight. And then finally, I suppose, one of the areas that we looked at in particular was the impact on water quality. And across Ireland, there's particular areas that have been impacted by agricultural activities. So that was an another area that we highlighted in the report, the deployment and the targeting of inspections, particularly in those areas where we are, where the science is showing us that there are impacts on our water quality from agricultural activities, that we're looking for local authorities to divert their resources towards that. And again, all in the aims of trying to see environmental improvements in those areas.
I'm going to come back to water in a moment, Neil, but just to point out how Kildare did in terms of air and noise enforcement, the best local authorities were in fact Kildare, Monaghan, Kerry and Dunleary, Rathdown. Waste enforcement, only four local authorities were considered to have been strong or excellent, and they were Fingal, again Kildare, Leitrim and Limerick. Incidentally, water quality then, the report identified that water quality around Ireland is declining and the number of water complaints increased by 14% to 3,600 in 2021. When we're talking about water quality, are we talking about the water in our taps, or are we looking at rivers, lakes, estuaries, etc.?
This is very much environmental water quality, and a lot of listeners might be familiar with the Water Framework Directive, which comes from the European Commission. And this, yes, is looking at our rivers, our lakes, our coastal waters and our groundwater, of course, as well beneath our feet. And we are seeing a concerning decline in water quality, in those rivers, lakes, groundwaters around Ireland. And this is something that, you know, really is of concern. And we have very good science now around this, with a lot of monitoring undertaken by the local authorities and analysed here by EPA. And, you know, what that is showing is that there are particular pressures in particular areas. So you can imagine that can be anything from wastewater, particularly in urban areas. And then in more rural areas, that can tend to be agricultural pressures. And that's something that we've identified within the report, that particular areas are seeing pressure from agriculture. So that's really in line with, things like nitrates and phosphates that listeners might be familiar with, and the enrichment of waters. And so that's an area that we're looking now to have local authorities to direct resources at and target those in those affected areas.
That other heading then is governance process, and I note that Cork County, Dublin City, Fingal, Galway City, Longford and Monaghan all met the required standards, while Mayo and Wexford failed to meet any. I don't see Kildare there in terms of being in one end or the other end of the spectrum. I'm imagining that they'd be in the middle there. But governance process, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's a bit of a catch-all expression, but what this really relates to is that local authorities have to formulate plans at the start of the year around their environmental inspections and what outcomes they hope to achieve. And so this kind of governance area covers those plans, where they not only then come up with a plan and designate their resources against priorities, but then also that they carry out and implement that plan and see it right the way through to, as I mentioned at the start, the whole idea of seeing environmental benefits, so seeing those environmental outcomes. So that's really what that kind of covers. And Kildare would have performed quite well in that area, certainly, very well in terms of their planning, implementation. Where we would have seen a little bit of weakness, but this kind of goes across the board nationally, is demonstrating those environmental outcomes within that governance process has been a little bit weaker for local authorities, and that's an area we'd like to see improve. But it is a difficult area because, you know, as you can imagine, environmental outcomes can be slow to arise. So even if you fix a problem, it can take time for the environment to recover and demonstrate an improvement. So it is a difficult area, but we do try to look at what we call intermediate outcomes, where you can measure things in between the final improvement in environmental quality. But as you can imagine, quite a tricky thing to do, but we are working with local authorities as well in terms of trying to demonstrate that.
Okay, the name of the report is Focus on Local Authority Environmental Enforcement. You can get more information on the EPA's website, epa.ie. Neil, if we were just to summarise then the report in total, how satisfied would you be from an environmental point of view?
Well, I would say, I mean, we're looking at almost half of local authorities are reaching the required standard in our framework that we've set. So it's a bit like that expression, a lot of really good work done, some more work to do, and really the focus is to try and benefit the environment here, and that's what we're all trying to do, local authorities and EPA together.
Well, EPA's Office of Environmental Enforcement Inspector Neil Foley, thanks for your time on the programme this morning, Neil.
Thanks very much, Owen.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Now, if you were tuned in to yesterday's programme, you will have heard religious affairs correspondent with the Irish Times, Patsy McGarry, speaking to Ciara about an article that he had in the Irish Times, with the opening paragraph saying a man who attended the Dominican-run Newbridge College in Kildare back in the 1970s has told the Irish Times of a reign of terror that was happening there under convicted child sex abuser Father Vincent Mercer, who later became the school principal. Peter, not his real name, is quoted here as saying, aside from the criminal sex abuse, he was a physical bully with a leather strap at every opportunity. He goes on to say, I know two of the innocent victims who tragically lost their lives at middle age, and their families lost husbands and fathers. Such was the weight on their traumatised, guilt-ridden minds. In 2005, Mercer, then 58, pleaded guilty at Naas Circuit Criminal Court to 13 sample charges of indecent assault between 1970 and 1977 against young boys at Newbridge College and at a Cork summer camp that was run by the Dominicans. The court heard the assaults had taken place at various locations in Newbridge College, including the dormitories, Mercer's office and in the infirmary when pupils were ill. Mercer had gone for treatment in the UK and in 2003 admitted to Gardaí that he had abused boys while teaching at the college, for which he received a 3-year suspended sentence on 13 counts. Defence Counsel Patrick Gageby SC said Mercer would go to the victim's dormitory at night, put his hand under the covers and feel their genitalia. Sergeant Kevin Lavelle told the court a criminal investigation was launched into Mercer's activities in 2003 when four former Newbridge College students made complaints. Earlier that year, Mercer had been sentenced to 6 months imprisonment in relation to the indecent assault of another boy. Sergeant Lavelle said the victims maintained the incidents had a terrifying effect on them and that Mercer had robbed them of their childhood, their sexuality, their trust in people and their trust in their religion. That gives you a bit of context about what we're going to talk about next, and just to flag that obviously some of the details that we're going to talk about will be distressing for some, so keep that in mind. We're joined on the line now by Jerry, not his real name, but he's a resident here in Kildare. And upon hearing that interview that we did with Patsy McGarry yesterday, Jerry got in touch with us to outline his experience and saying that he wanted to talk to us about what happened to him. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Owen. How are you? And thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for getting in touch with us, Jerry. I know it wasn't an easy phone call to make yesterday. And when you heard Patsy talking to Ciara, it brought you right back to the 1970s in Newbridge College. Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, well, this is going to be one of the hardest things that I've had to do. I was driving along yesterday and I heard the interview and I had to pull over. I broke down. My experience, I can't pronounce his name with this individual. I was an altar boy in Newbridge College. I would have been 10, 11, around 72 or 3. I also then, that's when I first came in contact with Father Mercer after serving at Mass. He'd come up to where we would change out of our vestal that we would wear as altar boys. Then I proceeded then to go into Newbridge College as a day pupil. This just got what I started getting abused by him. I came home one day and I said this to my father. And my father went down to the college and I was told that I was a attention seeker. I would have been a slow learner, and basically he convinced my father that I was a lion, and this never happened. I wasn't believed. I came home from Newbridge, from where I lived. It was from Newbridge College, from where I was living. It was very close, but as soon as I got into that car to travel back up to my house, I knew exactly what was going to happen. To me when I got home. I'm not proud. I couldn't believe that I wasn't believed. I got the hidings of all hidings for lying, bringing shame to the family, and not being believed. So this abuse continued on when he thought he got, you know, he got away with it. He knew then, and like what was said, touching her, shouldn't have been touching, having to touch him, it's affected my life. I left after my intercert, not with the greatest results, but I used to dread going to that school. I'd Mitch, my parents, both of them worked at the time. I was terrified of my father. This turned into alcohol, own, devastated my life. It has drove me to the verge of suicide and attempt suicide on numerous occasions. Now, I would be fairly well known in and around about the town of Dubic. And, you know, people take that outside features on from what was going on. It's totally and utterly. Just to hear this yesterday, that it did happen. I boxed this away for 48 years. I never knew he was convicted. I don't even know if he's still alive or dead. I don't know. I never went back looking because I wasn't believed. I used to dread when the bell used to go a class to see if he was down at the end of the corner with his letter strapped 2 foot long by 2 inches wide. I used to dread I'd be brought to his office as well as, you know, I wasn't all the way down when I was in Newbury's College, but sorry about this, but I had to do things that a child should never have to do. I found it very hard to make friends. I eventually moved away. I was extremely lucky to meet the woman that married, because without a doubt, if I hadn't met that woman, I wouldn't be here now. I just struggled, really. I've done things on account of this that I'm not proud of. I drank too much. I'd be out, and if one person said the wrong thing to me, there would be hell to pay. And that was a defence mechanism that I put up.
Jerry, just if I could come in there and just to give you a break as well, just to gather your thoughts, because I know it's not easy to talk about, and I greatly appreciate you taking the call this morning. If we go back to when you were in school and this was happening to you, was it widely known that it was happening among students and maybe other staff as well?
I thought it was just me. I didn't. As I said, I was only there 3 years. There was a reign of terror. And I mean, this man, if you see him, he's evil. He's evil. Yeah, he look at you. And if he met eye contact with you, oh, we're in trouble. I presume staff had to know. People down there had to know. There was one, when I was an altar boy, there was one priest, when the first happened to me, what he started doing to me, there was one priest then that used to arrive, and he had an idea, but he was moved. Probably had an idea, because he'd arrive on the scene, or he'd be hovering around. He'd be hovering around. I can't answer that, but I can only presume that he wasn't there because he wouldn't have been serving mass, but he would be hovering around where we would change, especially if Mercer wasn't there, he wouldn't be there. But when he was serving, he'd be hovering around. I don't know if it happened to other altar boys. I don't know that, but it happened to me. And there was rumours that he used to visit the dormitories, but I was a day pupil, you know, I never. But I just know that there was numerous times when I was brought into his office.
Where does your mind go when you're in your early teens and you're being brought into this room?
What's going on here? Why is this happening to me? Did I do something wrong? The terror of him putting his hand on my trousers, and it was fear that if you didn't do what he said, you'd be afraid of what was going to come next. He did know how to use that letter strap. He did know how to use that. I dreaded going to school. I dreaded hearing the bell in case he was at on a Wednesday when it was a half day. I read it, look up the corridor, and if he wasn't there, you'd run out. If he wasn't at the head of the corridor where our classrooms was, you'd get out of that school. Well, I used to get out of that school as quick as I could.
You referenced earlier, Gerry, your parents, and the fact that when your dad went up to visit Mercer, that Mercer told him that you were lying, that this was all made up, and ultimately your father believed Mercer, and it was that time in the 70s and the 80s, and even beforehand, people who had that power were believed and they were obeyed. How did that feel for you when you realised that your parents had sided with Mercer in terms of believing what he was saying as opposed to you?
Well, it's only within the last 2 years, within the family, we had a terrible tragedy a couple of years ago, and I was going off the rails on account. This was the wrong part of it, and I ended up to work in that, getting help, and with a very good counsellor, Sean, I don't know if I can mention his name or not, but, and he asked me what was my relationship with my father like. And I can honestly tell you that I hated that man. And that is a terrible thing to say. I hated that man. And I did not have a great relationship. I don't have a great relationship with my mother. On account of this. And that is all. But I've only found out, within going to therapy, 48 years I've been carrying this. 48 years. This therapist, who was absolutely tremendous to me, he turned around and he asked me, did my mother know? And I said, she had to know, because I said it to my father, they're married. I went in one day to visit my mother, and I set him off, drink and everything like that. I said, I'm seeing a counsellor. I told her, and I said, I have something to tell you, that I just have to find out something. And I said, Matt, it's going to be very hard. It's very hard for me. And I just mentioned his name, and my mother, she said, please, tell me he didn't do any, do you? And I said, he did, Ma. My mother said, why didn't you tell me? I says, Ma, I told your husband. And he pet me around the house. He kicked me around like a football. And I said, I wasn't going to go behind his back and tell you. I said, I told you what happened to me. I said, I lied to you saying that I fell off the wall. Because I was terrified. And it's only, I wish I had a better relationship with him, but this is all down to this man. I wish I could have been a better son, but I find it hard to let people in. I find it very hard to hug, even my children, that I find it hard emotionally. Yeah, I battle with demons every day. Every day I battle with my demons. I just think of my kid, my beautiful wife, that's what keeps me going. This man has devastated my life for 48 years. And to anyone else that's listening, if I touch one part, that's all. Just, it's not, I if I hurt anyone, or if anyone out there recognises me, and I hurt you in any way, or any, I'm sorry. But you think you're strong, you think you're hardy or whatever, but this, something like this, just at the back of your mind for 48 years, it has ruined my life. It has ruined relationships. I'm coming to terms with it now in the last 2 years. I understand the way I was. I understand. I honestly thought, or this might be hard to understand, I honestly thought there was something wrong with me. I thought I was a little bit touched up the top. But this has been explained to me through, when I did, 2 years ago, I tried to end it all. I was absolutely out of my head. I took my child's insulin, it came to an end. It came to a head. I just couldn't continue on the way I was continuing. I finally said, with the tragedy that was, I can't do this with within there was the tragedy that of what happened, that that person would be very, very disappointed with me the way I was going. And so I just stopped. I got help. This man devastated my life. He has robbed me of relationships, close friends. I don't let anyone in. I cannot let anyone close to me.
It's heartbreaking to listen to, Jerry, I have to say. But how are you doing now? And I know that, you know, you're mentioning 48 years that this has affected your life. It doesn't get easier. Absolutely, I would imagine it doesn't get easier. But you have managed to find a beautiful wife now. You have children. You've managed to get your life in order in that sense. I know that what happened in Newbridge College back in the 70s will always stay with you. But have you managed to put it in a box in any way?
I haven't. I told my wife and my two children know what happened. In the last 2 years, I've told other members of my family what happened, because I've dealt with it to the best I could. I think I was trying to explain my behaviour over the years, since I'm not drinking anymore or anything else like that. People tell me I am a completely different person. I haven't drank since February, over 2 years ago. Before that, I know I wasn't a nice person. I know I hurt people. I know there's times when I wasn't kind. There was times that, and this is one of the hardest things, there was times when I was full of alcohol that my family were afraid of me. And that's not nice. That is not one bit nice to hear. That, I'm doing well now with the help of, with the support that I got in my, as a guard, work been put on to, purpose of Sean Thunder. He has been a rock. But if there's anyone going out there, please talk. Please, I bottled this up for too long. I would get a certain amount of alcohol in me own, and I would find it hard to get through, if you know what I'm trying to say. That I would be weighing up the pros and cons. And a few times the cons got the better, and I have tried to end things. I am in a better place now, thank God, but it is still extremely hard. It is extremely hard. And listening to yesterday just knocked me for six. I don't, as I say, Tom, I don't even know if he's alive or dead. I don't care. I don't care. I never went. Someone might be listening there and saying, how did you go to Gareth when my own father didn't believe me? When that, and this has, it's cost me 40 odd years of relationship with my mother. I thought that my mother, who does more good for people than anyone, I thought that my mother knew, and for me to find out that she didn't know, and her first thing, well, our remote was, and I told her was, please tell me it wasn't Mercer. And that was unbelievable for her. But it was unbelievable for me, but it brought a bit of understanding to me. And it brought a bit of understanding to her. I hope that the way I used to react, I wouldn't go and visit or, and, you know, as much as I should. And that was all down to this. That was all down to this, man.
Well, listen, Jerry, thank you so much for coming on the programme and recounting your experience of that sexual abuse at Newbridge College at the hands of Dominican principal Vincent Mercer back in the 1970s. As I mentioned in the introduction, back in 2005, Mercer pleaded guilty at Naas Circuit Criminal Court to 13 sample charges of indecent assault between 1970 and 77. And the court heard that the assaults had taken place at various locations in Newbridge College. And after we spoke to Patsy McGarry, the religious affairs correspondent at the Irish Times, who had this story in the paper on Monday, Jerry contacted us wanting to share his experience. And Jerry, I know that was, as you said, one of the most hardest and difficult things that you've ever had to do. But thanks so much for speaking out, and take care.
Thank you very much. Thank you.